Hello and welcome to The Wire, your national and independent coverage of current affairs right across Australia on community and Indigenous radio. I'm Chelsea Miller, coming to you from Radio 4EB in Brisbane. And today, on the show...
I think it's really important in this time of donor babies and just issues about identity and how important that is for adopted people as well. So we open up conversation around adoption.
A new art exhibition in Melbourne is showcasing lived experiences of adoption. We have all the details. Also, a new campaign is looking for people to work in the dairy industry. And later today...
Mental Health Month is a period where we talk about mental health, we do things to improve our mental health, and this month the theme is Connect with Community.
October is Mental Health Month, and an organisation has activities throughout the month in Adelaide. We'll have this for you and more over the next half hour. Thanks for being with us today. We're on air across Australia thanks to the Community Radio Network and the support from the Community Broadcasting Foundation. First up today... Today is Ageism Awareness Day, and a new report released shows Australia is ageist. The report shows Australians over 50 and 60 experience more ageism in the workplace and found out participants in this age bracket believe they feel discriminated at job applications. Most of the participants also want the federal government to create a campaign to raise awareness around the issue. The Wire's Eduardo Jordan started asking co-chair and director of Every Age Counts, Marlene Krasovitsky, what the report entails.
Well, today is Ageism Awareness Day, where we shine a light on ageism and its terrible impacts. And to help us do that, we did some polling. And the findings are really a very serious wake-up call. So we conducted a study amongst a representative sample of people aged 50 years and over, but in 10-year increments, so over 50, over 60, over 70, etc., all the way up to over 90. Now, that in itself is a rather unique poll, in that mostly research and polling lumps all older people together into one monolithic homogenous clump, whether it's over 65s or over 50s. But we've broken it down into those 10-year age groupings, and this has allowed us to get some really, really interesting insights into the different experiences of older people at different ages. So these rich variations and nuances are no longer invisible. And clearly being in your 50s is different to being in your 70s, is different to being in your 90s. Of course, it makes perfect sense.
For instance, 36% of people over 50 say people assume they're not tech savvy or they cannot catch up with technology. Could you please expand on this statistic?
Generally, 26% of participants said that they've been personally affected by ageism in the past year. So this is not a one-off or isolated incident. And the sorts of experiences that people reported are exactly as you say. People assuming, for instance, that they can't understand or learn new technology. So that was a whopping 36%. Other sorts of experiences were being ignored or made to feel invisible, being the butt of jokes. You know, when other people insist on doing things for them that they're perfectly capable of doing on their own. But this assumption that so many people make about older people not understanding or learning, being able to learn new technologies, is simply so wrong. There are so many older people who are very, very comfortable on social media, on various platforms, on the internet, yet this pervasive stereotype continues to endure. And so if you can imagine, if that's in the head of a recruiter and they have an older person in front of them and that assumption is in their head without it, you know, them even bothering to ask the older person how comfortable they are with technology, that can lead to a discriminatory behaviour.
You were mentioning earlier that this report shows different age brackets showing ageism in the workplace. So could you please expand on why is it important to show ageism in different age brackets, like over 60, over 50, over 70, etc.?
Well, I think it looks different as people get older. People are telling us that in their 50s and 60s, they're really feeling the impacts of ageism. They can't get jobs. They are confronted with these ageist stereotypes and assumptions by recruiters, their applications are culled and so on. And it bites particularly hard in the 50s and 60s. But it seems to be less of an issue as people are in their 70s or 80s or 90s, but other types of ages, they can find other types of ageism as they get older. And as I mentioned before, that tends to be in healthcare settings. So we need to understand what ageism looks like and how it plays out over the life course of people's lives.
Most of the respondents on this report want the government to raise awareness of this issue. What else would you like to see to increase the conversation around ageism?
It's a really interesting finding, isn't it, that so many people said ageism is a serious problem. And 74% of people said that they believe Australia is not doing enough to raise awareness of ageism and to fight against it. And about the same number, the same percentage, told us that they would fully support a government campaign to raise awareness of ageism and its impacts and to start shifting the stereotypes, the assumptions, the prejudices, the discrimination about older people and start busting some of those myths that are out there. So that is something that we've been calling for a long time, a sustained government education campaign to particularly, generally in the public, but particularly in workplaces, to challenge those myths and stereotypes, to increase the awareness of ageism and age-based discrimination, and to open up people's minds and thinking to being able to recruit people on the basis of their merit, not their age.
Now, I understand you are having a panel to raise awareness about ageism in Ageism Awareness Day. Could you please expand about this panel with Aita Bodros?
Yes, we've just finished that panel, but it will be available as a recording later on our website later today. We were very fortunate to have Aita Bodros, who is well known to many, many Australians. She is such a trailblazer, a legendary Australian, and she has a particular passion about the ageism and age discrimination that many older Australians confront.
Co-chair and director of Every Age Counts, Marlene Krasovitsky there, ending the story by The Wire's Eduardo Jordan. An art exhibition is providing artists who have a lived mental health experience with the opportunity to showcase artwork that represents their journey. The DAX Centre is committed to increasing awareness and understanding of mental health and psychological trauma through art. The exhibition, Adopted, aims to foster social change by breaking mental health stigmas through creative expression. Curator and Collections Manager of the DAX Centre, Jonathan Crowther, says the exhibition focal point is the adoptees' personal stories relayed through art.
So the DAX Centre is part of SANE. SANE is Australia's leading national mental health organisation for people with complex mental health issues. So basically we believe in the power of art to stimulate conversations and educate and reduce stigma related to mental health issues. And we're also very lived experience-led, meaning we place a lot of value on the voice and knowledge of those that have actually lived something, not just those that know it from an academic sense.
The featured artists are all from different backgrounds.
There's Ebony Hickey, Winnicky Hench, Lisa Welp, and Peter Waples-Crowe. Two of the artists are inter-country adoptees, one Haitian and one from Papua New Guinea, and the other two are cross-cultural with an Australian First Nations people background.
Jonathan says the exhibition was initially inspired by Peter Waples-Crowe, one of the artists who was adopted, and says the complex topic sometimes raises questions of belonging and of identity.
And I think it's very important we hear about these stories and ultimately the resilience of the artists and their growth. It's also a really good opportunity to learn more about and educate people about different frameworks of mental health, such as social and emotional wellbeing framework that is better suited to the First Nations people, which includes spiritual and cultural well-being and connection to country. So it's not just a Western medical model that we look at here with mental health and wellness. So with this artwork, we really get that sense of what an artist is going through and what their journey's been from a different perspective.
one of the artists, Peter, says his artwork follows an insight into his adoption experience.
I see my art as following my life, really, and yeah, it's something I've really enjoyed. And I'm better at communicating visually than, you know, sometimes articulating all the words. My artwork's always been about personal experience. I was adopted, and sometimes it's not talked about a lot. We're all adopted people, so we're just talking about our experiences of that and bringing out the hidden stories and through our different cultural lenses as well.
Peter says the exhibition will feature a range of art media.
You'll be seeing a variety of artworks from the different artists in the show, but my work spells out the word Nurin, which is a tribal name given to me by one of my elders. And I guess all the letters, they have symbols and things that express my life journey to get to that point, to have a tribal name, you know, after adoption. There's also a disco ball because I'm part of the LGBTIQA+ community. I think that complements the work as well. The other artists in the show are doing printmaking, sculpture, video, and other media as well.
The City of Melbourne provided the DAX Centre with a grant, allowing the artists to work on their piece for the last 6 months, something Jonathan says has been a journey for everyone.
For each of them, I think it's been a real journey in confronting their own story of adoption, and it's been difficult for them at times, and it's good that it's a group exhibition that they're exploring this, because they've been able to have each other to lean on during the process. I think for a lot of them, it's, you know, ultimately the cathartic moment is now it's sort of up on the walls or in the space and they don't have to develop it anymore. So it's, I think it's sort of a bit of a release for them tonight, which they'll be able to celebrate at the opening.
Although the process can be time consuming, Peter says the planning stage is the most creative and important component to producing his work.
For it. Make art, I usually have to process the idea or what the intent of the exhibition's about. And that was no different for this show, but I see that as a really part of my creative process. So psychologically, sort of looking at the ideas that it holds. Sometimes there's a lot of thinking about, you know, when you've lived a life, going back sometimes can bring up, you know, trauma and good feelings, and you just need to process. The paintings have poured out of me pretty quickly at the end. And I think that's an important part of it as well. Then I start to make them the work.
Peter hopes the show will provide the audience with an insight into some of the struggles adopted people face.
I'm hoping people come to the show and the associated events of the show and just get a better understanding, and we open up the conversation around adoption. I mean, I think it's really important in this time of donor babies as well, and just issues about identity and how important that is for adopted people as well. Yeah, and family connections. I think the whole show is about working our way through belonging.
Jonathan says additional information can be found online.
So you can head to our website, daxcentre.org. On the What's On page, there's more information about the exhibition there. So basically it opens tonight, has its official opening, where we are having Kylie Belling, Australian actress and First Nations person, speak, and it will be running to, the exhibition will run to the 6th of April next year. So it's on for quite some time.
You're listening to The Wire, independent current affairs on community and Indigenous radio. I'm Chelsea Miller in Brisbane. A big hello to our friends in Alice Springs on ACCC 102.1 FM, to our listeners in Melbourne on 98.9 Northwest FM, and to the other side of the country, to Harvey Community Radio in Harvey, Western Australia. Some years ago, the dairy industry Australia passed through a challenging time because of the drought in regional and remote areas. Farming was a challenging job without any rain. When the industry was slightly recovering from the crisis, the COVID-19 pandemic hit, and now dairy farmers have labour shortages. Around 22% of the farmers are unable to fill vacant positions within 3 months. Now, the industry is ready to attract Australians to get jobs within dairy farms. A new campaign promoted by Dairy Australia is encouraging those interested in getting a job to connect with farmers across the country to secure jobs. The Wire's Eduardo Jordan started asking General Manager of Regional Services at Dairy Australia, Verity Ingham, what the campaign is all about.
We're embarking on a workforce attraction campaign in the dairy industry with a three-pronged approach. So the first part is around sharing with regional communities and the broader community in terms of roles and jobs on dairy farms and making sure that people know what's available on farms and what sort of roles there are. The second one is around making sure for anybody interested in working on a farm that they've got some skills to help them as they start working on farms. And then our third part is about supporting our farmers. So making sure as they're getting new workforce on farm, that they're skilled in leadership and, working with people on their farms.
Why do you think there's a labour shortage in the industry? And what's the current situation with the dairy industry and employment?
Yeah, so, you know, as people would know, there's a labour shortage across many industries at the moment. And some of this is a fallout of COVID where there was free movement between borders, between Australia and internationally. And some of that filled the labour pool on dairy farms. With the job boom at the moment and jobs available in all sorts of industries, the pressure's on for the dairy industry to be attracting and retaining a new workforce in the industry. Currently, we've got about, around 22% of our farmers saying that they're currently looking for workers on farm and have been for some time. So we're really keen to be able to support our farming community and make sure that we're getting workers on farms.
So what are some of the benefits of getting a job in the dairy industry?
Oh, lots of benefits, Eduardo. So for those people looking to work outdoors, looking to work with animals, looking to feed the nation, the dairy industry and work on dairy farms really supports this. So a lot of roles are outdoor based and can be around agronomy, can be around milking cows, feeding cows, looking after calves. There's a whole host and range of different jobs on farms.
And what are the benefits for farmers to keep and retain new employees to support the industry?
I think for any business, if you can attract and retain good staff in your business, it actually provides you that continuity but also supports your business profitability and productivity and that longevity and sustainability within your business. So the benefits for farmers is they're not seeking new employees, they're not having to train and upskill new staff all the time, and they're creating that capability uplift and development in their business and on their farms.
And where can people express their interest in looking for a job in the industry?
So there's a number of ways that they can do this. We have a general website, dairyaustralia.com.au/people. But we also have people in our local regions, in our regional teams, where job seekers can go and talk about roles in the industry. We're working with the job network, job seeker agencies out in the region too, to make sure they're informed about the industry, what sorts of roles are available and what sorts of support there is for job seekers looking to get into the industry.
That was General Manager of Regional Services at Dairy Australia, Verity Ingham, ending the story from The Wire's Eduardo Jordan.
Have you checked out The Wire? It's your national current affairs program. The Wire, taking an independent look at what's happening in Australia and around the world. Fresh voices, new points of view, current affairs with a difference. Don't miss The Wire, daily on community and Indigenous radio across Australia.
October is Mental Health Awareness Month, and organisations are preparing activities to raise awareness of our mental health. South Australians also will be a part of this month, and there's a lot of activities to promote good mental health. The Wire's In Chen Li found out more.
World Mental Health Day is celebrated on October 10th each year. The first World Mental Health Day was held in 1982 to promote mental health education, awareness, and advocacy worldwide. Each year, countries around the world prepared rich and thoughtful activities for Mental Health Day, including publicity, shooting videos to promote mental health, and more. Executive Director of the Mental Health Coalition of South Australia, Jeff Harris, says October is best to speak about mental health.
Mental Health Month is a period where we talk about mental health, we do things to improve our mental health, and this month the theme is connect with community.
Mr. Harris says connecting through the community can help to improve our mental health.
In terms of connecting with community, what we're encouraging people to do is to reach out to those who could be isolated, feeling lonely or facing tough challenges, because by connecting with each other, we can support each other's well-being as well as our own. In terms of what community is, well, community could be people who live around us, people who share our interests or even have shared experiences. Could be a physical space, could be online. But wherever we find our community, being part of it can create a positive impact on our mental health and well-being and give us a sense of belonging and connectedness, and that improves our quality of life.
There will be relevant activities in South Australia the community can attend.
So with the events, there's a range of things that they aim to do. So some of them are events like the Mindshare Group Exhibition, which is basically an exhibition of people's artworks, so people with lived experience who've created artwork. It's an opportunity for them, their family, and other members of the community to see them in displayed. There's also Wallace Cinemas is hosting a special screening of a movie that has relevance for mental health. We've got the Festival of Now in Light Square, which is a range of things but includes a lot of information about different services and options for help. We've got AdMental, which is about mental health promotion work and loosely based on the Gruen Transfer TV show, which is about advertising and trying to create an ad that sells a certain aspect of mental health, and lots of other events that are around just people getting together and thinking and talking about mental health.
Some events will bring positive messages.
In terms of achievements of events in Mental Health Month, I think probably that the main achievement is how many people actually participate, but also some of the events are just outstanding in terms of the talent and the messages. So, for example, one of the events this year called Laughter is the Best of Meds, and that'll be at the Arkabar Hotel this year, which is a much bigger venue than we've normally had. And so we're hoping to fill that venue. But the comedians that come along, there's some that are reasonably well established, but others are just starting out. It's great to hear the range sort of ideas and topics that people tackle and want to communicate about.
And one of them will pay tribute to the healthcare sector.
Another great event in the month is AdMental, which will be at Bennison Hall on the 20th of October. And the host of that will be Nurse Georgie. And this year, basically, the emerging creatives are tasked with creating a social media video that looks at supporting the mental health of our frontline emergency workers. And so that's a really topical issue, I think, moving into the bushfire season. Yeah, hopefully people can find an event or two or three or ten that they would like to go to and come along. Love to see you.
Mr. Harris says it's critical to find what makes us stressed to maintain mental health.
Maintaining good mental health starts with thinking about it. So that's one of the key themes about Mental Health Month. So thinking about what makes you feel better and what things maybe make you feel more stressed or not so good about yourself, and looking at the balance in your life, making efforts to do more of things that make you more well. So it really starts with understanding yourself, because what might work for you may be different for me. So each person needs to understand themselves and what helps make them well and maintain their well-being. The best place to get more information about the event in Mental Health Month is on our website. So it's mhcsa.org.au/mental-health-month. That's the best place to find information.
That was Executive Director of Mental Health Coalition of South Australia, Jeff Harris, speaking with The Wire's Zinchen Lee. And unfortunately, that's the end of the show today. Thank you so much for listening wherever you are in Australia. The Wire is a co-production between community radio station 2SER in Sydney and Radio 4EB in Brisbane, with the great support of the Community Broadcasting Foundation and the Community Radio Network. We'll see you next week, same time, on your local station. And if you'd like to listen to any of our stories again, you can go to our website at thewire.org.au. Get in touch with us on social media. Just search for The Wire Radio, all in one word, on Twitter or on Facebook at The Wire, independent current affairs on radio around Australia. The Wire acknowledges the traditional custodians of the Turrbal and Jagera countries where this program has been produced, and we pay our respects to Aboriginal elders, past, present and emerging. Today The Wire came to you from Radio 4EB in Brisbane. I'm Chelsea Miller. Thank you so much for your company, and we'll see you next time on The Wire.